This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Steve Sargent from the Hiawatha Church of God in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you, my friend.
Good to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in and doing these shows with me. We've been doing stuff together for a long time, actually, because back, I think it was 2016, when we were doing Christian Country Mornings at the radio station on the 98.3, the Bull, right?
Right.
So then you would come in and you helped me do a show. And then I said, well, you might as well just keep coming in. So we did a ton. Like, you and I did a ton of shows. Then when we didn't do it anymore, we decided to do podcasts in that COVID season, starting about then. And then I'm like, well, hey, keep coming in. So I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I look forward to it each time.
No, it's good. Well, and people like having you on the show, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I do hear.
So am I boosting your ratings?
You are. You are, actually.
I'm
going
to talk to my agent about
you
that.
Are. It's your good looks, I think, is the main thing of it, really.
It's the glow that I bring.
It is. It's just, there's just something magical about you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're like a Disney character or something. You know what I mean? You're just special. Everyone's just drawn towards you. They can't help it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know which one, whether it's Pinocchio or Dumbo the Elf. I'm not sure which one. I have to think about
I'll take Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. There you go.
They take me to the front of the class. Mickey
Mouse, yeah. That's funny. But no, I'm glad you're here. And it is a season of Lent, time to reflect on Christ as we're headed. And in this month, I mean, Easter's early this year. Right. So actually, we're on today when we, not when you hear this podcast, when we're doing the podcast is March 7th. So then we'll air them next week sometime. But we're just getting closer and closer, you know, all the time to Good Friday. And it's just such a wonderful time of year to think about it. I try to post something salvation oriented just on my own Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Hey, these are the things, you know, we really should be thinking about. But it says, and this is Psalm of David. This is Psalm 22. So this is written hundreds of years before Christ. I'm sure David's writing about some of the problems that he's having in his own life. However, this is way beyond David.
Yes.
And you'll hear, when you hear these verses and you think about how many hundreds of years this was written before Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? My God, why have you forsaken me? Did we hear that on the cross?
Yes. Jesus said that on the cross.
Right. What do you think about that when he said, why have you forsaken me?
Because of the sin that Jesus was representing. It was a separation between God and man. Sin will separate us right. from God every time. So Jesus had to feel the separation
right.
of what sin does when in relationship to God.
One of the things I think is important to realize as you're talking about that, death wasn't the only problem. Right. When Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sins, the price that he was paying was not just dying a physical death. The price that he, because we still die physically.
Yeah.
If Jesus Christ died physically, so we didn't have to die physically, then what was the point? Because we're all going to die. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
And we all have been dying since Christ. It was the spiritual death that Christ took. And that darkness in the middle of the day, from noon to three, pitch black dark, and around that cross, can you imagine all those sins of the world swirling around Christ, coming onto Christ, being paid by Christ? Why have you forsaken me? Because it's the first time in eternity, the only time where Christ would suffer separation from the Father. Can you imagine the Godhead, like a true separation? I can't even look at you right now. I can't be, wow.
Right.
I'm alone. You're like so Christ.
You're so contaminated right now. You're man, so foul.
Man, I'm sure there are times we feel alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. If you're following God, I don't know if there would ever be really a time where you'd be forsaken. Not like Christ was here. Right. There might be times we feel like God's far away, right? Because he says, my God, why have you forsaken? And then, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. So that's another aspect of, yeah, sometimes we're like that. We're just crying out to God, God help me. But then in verse 7, it says, all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. Verse 8, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. So when you think about the cross, did that happen?
Yes.
Right? When?
When he trusted. You at verse, what number are you at?
I'm on 7 and 8. So, well, think about this. They were saying to him. Yeah.
And they laughed at him.
They were right. They were like, they mocked me. Their mouths wag at me. Mm-hmm. And I like that part, too. They said in verse 7, They mock me. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Didn't they say that? Mm-hmm. Yes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You healed, or you brought other people back. You saved others. Save yourself. Right. Why don't you save yourself? And that's really like tantalizing, because it says, okay, you say you're the Son of God. You have all this power. We've seen you use some of it. Why don't you use some now?
If and, you really are.
Right. And that, and in a natural sense, that's enticing.
Right.
That makes you feel like, you know, you can flex and you, right. you really can. I can right. do this. And that's another temptation that he had to overcome.
Okay. If the Holy Spirit came in Samson and he knocked out, what, 3,000 with the jawbone of a donkey?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's on Jesus and he's the Son of God. You can imagine what he could have done Absolutely. To the soldiers in that crowd and his restraint of staying on. And they he was like calling out the Eli,
yeah.
Laba Sabachthani, if I said it right. And they're like, oh, he's crying for Elijah. He's crying for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah comes and gets him, because yeah. they're all making fun of him. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't. Even the criminal was making fun of him. Yeah. Hey, why don't you come off that cross and save us too? Take us all. Let's all leave today. You know, get us all off there. And that's when the one stuck up for Jesus Christ, stopped mocking him.
Mm-hmm. And this here. Went on for hours.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about this in a few minutes. This was like hours long.
Right.
I just cannot imagine
that. Right. And people shaking their heads at him, just like, oh, bro, yeah. look at him. What a joke. I mean, that's what the message would have to be. What a joke, yeah. you know, that you're doing this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I look at it and I think of the mocking, and I've always thought whether they clubbed him in the head, they spit in his face, they put a fake like robe on him, the soldiers did, who punched you, they blindfold him, punch him, they just mocked him the whole way through. So I think that would be a hard thing for anyone to take.
Yeah.
And it would certainly be a hard thing as a man when you got the power to do something about it. The gentleness of Christ.
Yes.
Being able to take it, that abuse, without being abusive in return.
I heard a pastor say once, like you know how Martin Luther King died, John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, if they would have known ahead of time, hey, there's an assassin, in Martin's case, and across the street at a hotel, don't come out your room, or they wouldn't have came out their room.
Right.
John F. Kennedy, had he known there was an assassin waiting, you're going down the street in Dallas with an open car.
Right.
I don't believe he would have done it.
No.
I don't believe Robert Kennedy would have took that exit through the kitchen had right. he known there's an assassin there waiting to kill you. Jesus knew they were waiting to kill him.
Right.
He knew it.
Right.
He could have skipped town. He right. could have hid. He walked into it on purpose.
Right. He prayed about it. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, he handled his problem by just praying to God about it and asking for the help. And remember, if there's any way for this cup to pass yeah, from me, let it be. Not my will, but yours be done. And the angels were there strengthening him for the task at hand, which to me, that was an amazing thing too. But then in verse 14, it picks up this theme. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my chest. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. That was part of it too. Didn't he thirst? Didn't he say, I'm thirsty?
Yes.
On the cross, right?
Right. I mean, he's losing blood.
Right.
He's out, and you know, it wasn't snowing outside. He's in the heat.
Right.
He has no, it, you know, modern medicine nowadays, there's a lot of things they could do. What did they do to ease his pain? Or even to make his death more comfortable? You're already being crucified. It hurts.
Right.
What did they do? Nothing. It's
right.
like you're. It's designed for you to be tormented to death.
Right. And humiliated.
Yeah.
Like I think, man, there's a lot of ways to die, but that suffocating right. thing that you got to keep pushing yourself up, or you can't breathe, and finally, it would have to be excruciating.
And one of the things we deal with as humans, you know, just in my work with funeral home. When someone dies, especially if they die tragically, one of the first things families want to know, like if you're in a car accident or something, did you suffer?
Right.
They want to know that, like, because they don't want, it's bad enough we got to deal with our loved one being dead, but we don't want to know they lay there for hours in agony and pain and nobody knew it, and then they died or something. At a minimum, sometimes there's comfort in knowing if they went quick.
Right.
Jesus didn't go quick.
No. No, and plus his back was like wide open with yeah. wounds. I think he was so beat up. It was even when he meets the disciples after like two on the road to Emmaus, and they don't officially recognize him until he does the communion with them, right? And you wonder about, well, how much of a beating had he taken before he rose again? That he, because it said in Isaiah 52 that he was marred, or early 53, it says he was marred, like beyond recognition. So, I mean, those clubs to the face and everything they did to him would have had an impact, because he still had the nail marks, right? Yeah. So you would have to assume that some of the other wounds he also would have had as well. But just the mocking, just the emotional part of the torture, just the emotional part of torment that he went through. And it's nice to know, I mean, Christ as a human, he didn't just suffer physical pain. He suffered emotional pain. Mm-hmm. And we suffer emotional pain.
Oh, yes.
So it's nice to know when you pray to God, and maybe you're going through rejection right now, you're going through some type of emotional pain, you may be lost, as you had mentioned, you know, when families lose a loved one, to know, well, Christ has also suffered emotional pain as well, right?
Yeah, so when we pray, we're not praying just to a foreign object or a God that doesn't understand.
Right.
He went through things like we experienced.
Right.
And he overcame them.
Right. Yeah, well, that's why it's not just a supreme being or some superpower. Like, electricity is power.
Yes.
There's a lot of power in it. Nuclear energy, there's power in it, but there's no personality in it. And when we look at the creator of the world, it's not just power, it's personality. And personality not meaning cool personality or one personality versus another. I'm saying he's a person.
Yeah.
And because he's a person, he has feelings. And he thinks, and he makes decisions. And Jesus Christ had that personality. He could think through things. He experienced things. He felt things. He wasn't immune to any of this.
Right.
And some people, I remember struggling early on in theology, they super struggled with the idea of God dying, of God, you know, God the Son taking on that kind of penalty. So they would think, well, no, the actual Christ, spirit of Christ, had already departed and left, and that was just a body kind of taking the abuse, because they couldn't even imagine that God would take that kind of abuse. And that bad theology got shot down eventually. It's like, no, he was fully human, fully God, and he fully experienced both.
Yes, he did, and he felt it. Like you said, emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Right.
You imagine that, what it does to you mentally. And it, and the people that he had mentored and led, the close group, the disciples, were for the most part gone.
Right.
Not that they could rescue him, and he knew what the intent was, but just to have you there sometimes.
I wonder how many of them were there sometimes, like how many of the disciples were standing around having to watch it. I know some were, because John was there for sure. I would imagine others probably were somewhere in that crowd, kind of watching to see what was taking place. And I don't know if they would all been there. I'm not sure. They were all witnesses to the resurrection, for sure. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. And maybe they were, but I'm not sure. It says, too, you know, of course, his strength is dried up. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Now, there's a prophetic verse.
Yep.
It says that he was pierced in Isaiah 53, too.
Mm-hmm. And I heard one minister put it like this. They pierced his hands to stop him from laying hands on people and healing them. They pierced his feet to stop him from going to places, working miracles, and spreading his, you know, good news, gospel deliverance.
Right.
They were trying to stop him
from doing those things. Man, I think about the arm stretched out. You know, a lot of times we stretch out our arms in a symbol of love. You know what I mean? Because we want to hug, you know, whether it's our kid, grandkid, brother, sister, friend, whoever. And I think of Christ in love, you know, his arms willingly taking those nails through his hands and his feet. And whether it's his wrist or his palm, like, I'm not sure what they exactly would have done. Same thing, you know, but man, just nailing him. Can you imagine being spiked? And you got to feel it. You got to hear it. Mm-hmm. The thought of it, you're locked in. Yep. You know what I'm saying? You're not moving anywhere. Mm. Pierced.
And again, just to go through it for hours, and they didn't do one hand, they did both. They didn't do one foot, they did both.
Right.
So it's just constant pain and agony. What a way to die.
Right. Well, that too, I think too, the prophetic nature of this, that saying, I mean, obviously, you know, here's a passage written hundreds of years before Christ that's so perfectly depicting what happened at that crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Right. So thee was pierced. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. So, you know, I think of his, you know, like him being able to look at his chest and seeing his chest and counting his bones, you know, sticking out because he's laid out like that and his shirt's off and yeah. his, not that they would have worn a shirt like we do, but your robe, what have you, is now, you know, you're exposed to the elements. You can count your bones. And then they divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots.
Mm. Wow.
Prophecy.
Yep.
Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Seriously. Somebody's casting lots for your clothes. You're sitting there. How cruel. Mm. How cruel. It's cold, you know, because you're casting lots for his clothing. Why? You're not going to need that. You're not going to need that where you're going. Right?
Yeah, that is cruel. Instead of having or even sympathy, maybe trying to comfort his mom or somebody. Not right. Like, hey, somebody grab his sandals. Like,
right. Well, I think too, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, oh, Christ, you know, he was poor and he didn't have anything and he wouldn't have worn nice threads. I'm like, they were casting lots to see who got it. Yeah,
it wasn't, probably wouldn't fit for the garbage, right?
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, they weren't donating it to Goodwill, let's say. You know, they're gambling and they're casting lots for it. But the accuracy of the picture, from the piercing to the casting of the lots, to the wagging of the heads, to the mocking,
yes.
You know, you saved others, save yourself kind of rhetoric. That's right here in Psalm 22. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing what prophetically what the Bible said. And then we see it like in the Old Testament concealed and then revealed in the New.
Right.
And from different ones, not one right. person, from different people, hundreds of years apart, even here we are.
Right. What is your, when you think about the crucifixion, what stands out the most to you?
Oh, well, let me tell you.
It doesn't have to be just one thing.
Yeah, right. Well, I would tell you this. It becomes very, very emotional for me because I consider the fact he didn't have to do it.
Right.
And I believe with all the people that were in the world then and have been born since, I believe because he's God, he's the Son of God, you know, he has power and authority that we could never imagine, he actually thought about me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like me. It's something he probably could even think of after Beulah.
Right.
That didn't exist.
Right.
Or wasn't on record. But all of that going through his mind while he's there.
Right.
He had billions of reasons to do it.
Right. For you.
For us.
Right.
For,
so personal. the unselfish nature of
yes,
it.
Yes.
Well, you think, too, of just the hatred that he took. You know, sometimes you know, all he's doing is the right thing. Mm-hmm. What is he guilty of? Healing people?
Right. Yeah. What a crime is that? That's right. A big one, right?
Oh, man, you're so horrible. You healed people. This is all your fault. You're going to a cross. I think what intrigues me, too, I mean, the brutality of the whole thing and what he suffered. The darkness.
Yeah.
I think that being pitch black dark. Also, what Pilate put on there, this is the King of the Jews, in three different languages. And then when they come back and they say, no, only say that he said he was the King of the Jews, change the sign. And Pilate's like, I'm not changing that sign.
Hmm.
This is the King of the Jews. You got to face the fact you just crucified him. Hmm. Now, today, are people crucifying afresh the king?
Yeah.
Are they crucifying afresh their Lord? Because they're not willing to listen to him. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the tag, he's the king. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords, right? So that's who he still is. So I wonder sometimes if we want to ignore that or we want to mock that or we don't think that we need to pay attention to that, where in this season of Lent, this would be a good time for us to turn our attention back to Christ and just say, Lord, whatever you want from me.
That's right.
And if nothing else, I mean, just for me, the trust in him, you know, I'm trusting in you.
Yeah, he went out and gave his life for us. Anybody that's willing to go to that extreme for you.
Right.
we ought to trust him.
Right, right. No, and you can trust him.
Yes.
You can trust him. And the one thing you can trust him with is your soul. Because ultimately, the only hope that we have for eternity is through what Christ did. There's no other better way. There's no other religion with a risen Lord. The love ethic, everything that he taught us. It's just something, again, like for you, me, others like us, we've been immersed in this since we were kids. Mm-hmm. So trying to see it anew, trying to remind ourselves anew, just trying to seek God to be closer. To me, I want to help others, but I also want to be close to God myself.
Yeah.
Not just busy in your life helping people.
Right.
Well, the Pharisees did that too. It's like, what are we doing? Are we walking with God?
That's right.
Ourselves? Are we trusting on Christ? Are we dependent? Are we asking him what he wants us to do? Right. Your will be done, like Jesus Christ said. And we're supposed to end all of our prayers in Jesus' name, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whenever we pray in his name. So, you know, I think of his power, and hopefully during the season, especially this time of year, and Christmas too. You know, mm-hmm. you got Christmas and Easter, two big times a year, just to be impacted by it.
Yeah.
In a new way, you know, just like, wow.
Yeah, to like renew in our own minds and hearts right. of what he's done, and keep the main thing the right. main thing. Sometimes we get caught up in the, you know, the routine of what we have to do.
Right.
And, slightly may lose focus on why we do what we do.
Right.
And he is the reason.
He is the reason. And Christ has just got to be a super huge player and influencer in our lives and the way that we treat, the way that we talk, whatever we do. So, and Lord, if we're not doing that a good way, forgive us and yes, just please. Be mindful. Yeah. Just be keeping, laying these things about you on our hearts, but we appreciate Jesus Christ and all that he did. Mm-hmm. So two Old Testament passages we've given you, in the last two podcasts, Isaiah 53 and then Psalm 22 are both great ones to read and to reflect on during the season of Lent. You guys all have a great and a blessed week.